Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Sports Radio 1043 The Fan.
Well, no Mark Schlereth today. Nate Jackson has been so gracious enough to get up early and come on in and hang out, having a good time this morning. Now, before you just pounce and say, Mark, Mr. Draft Night report that Aaron Rodgers was set to become a Bronco and that it would happen and that Aaron Rodgers would never play for the Packers again. I get it. You want him here to face the music.
Mark Schlereth, handsome sumbitch, get out here.
But this was a planned day off for him. He's doing something else. It was planned. But I get it. The optics are not good. But he will be back tomorrow. So all these barbs that are coming in, all these shots that are coming Mark's way this morning, hold on to them. If anything, gives you another day to come up with fresh material, your grade A material for tomorrow. He will be back to face the music. Nate, you're somebody who believes that this might end up being a good thing not to get Aaron Rodgers. Explain. Sell me, sell others who are hoping for and rooting for Aaron Rodgers to be a Bronco this year. Sell me on the idea of why, first of all, not having Rodgers might be okay. And then sell me on Bridgewater and Locke, because that's what we're now stuck with.
Yeah. Well, there's no doubt Aaron Rodgers is a phenomenal football player, okay? He's been lighting it up in Green Bay for a lot of years. He was the NFL's MVP last year. We all know how good he is. My belief, though, is that you can't just plug and play quarterbacks and think it's going to work out on any team. Now, Tom Brady had a lot of success last year, obviously, in Tampa. But Tampa Bay was a different team, and Tom Brady's a different player. He was done in New England. Aaron Rodgers was attempting to force his way out. And in the last several months, Aaron Rodgers, to me, has revealed himself to be the type of person that I don't want on my football team. His ego is monolithic. It's all about this guy. He also doesn't really want to work hard. He doesn't want to come to OTAs. And if you're going to be a quarterback who comes in to a team that's already established, you have to put in that work to get on the same page with these guys. He doesn't want to do that. He's been spending a lot of time in Hollywood. He wants to host Jeopardy. He's got a pie-in-the-sky attitude about the world. And football is about what are we going to do together. Aaron Rodgers doesn't seem like the guy who wants to do that. And I think he thinks it's going to be easier than it actually would be to go to a new team and have what he has in Green Bay. So forget Aaron Rodgers. He's not coming here, at least not this year. Who do we have? We got Drew Locke and Teddy Bridgewater, okay? It's been said that the floor is higher for Teddy Bridgewater, but the ceiling is higher for Drew Locke. We got to find out which guy is a better football player for this team. And for that reason, I think a quarterback competition is going to be fun. It's going to be a good thing. Drew Locke has never had one of these before. His first year here, he was behind Joe Flacco, who didn't really teach him a lot. And he was hurt all year, right? He was on IR, so he didn't get to be in meetings. He wasn't out on the field. He didn't absorb a lot of the things that a young quarterback should be absorbing. Joe Flacco left. And now, Drew Locke, he had five strong games at the end of 2019, so it's your job, Drew. We're not even going to bring anyone in here to compete with you. It's your job. And he didn't do well with that. He also didn't do well with no offseason and a new offensive coordinator that may or may not have struggled implementing his system. So now he's got that offseason under his belt, and now he has competition. We've all seen Drew Locke excel in moments and have flashes of electricity. To me, that means that he can sustain that. If you have proper coaching and you learn well enough, you can make that the norm for your playing style. If we part ways with Drew Locke now, we'll never know if he can be that guy. How bad would you feel if we let him go and he goes to another team and becomes a Pro Bowler? He has the physical talents. He needs to be pushed and he needs to learn. By all accounts, that's what he's been doing this offseason. So in my mind, a quarterback competition in training camp is fun. That's exciting.
Can I jump in right there? Let me just jump in though. Cause okay, when you're saying it's fun and exciting, I assume you're That's the fan in you?
No. This is the player. Because
okay, that's interesting, because I would think, and this is why I'm really interested in talking to you about this, as a offensive player, as a pass catcher, and all this talk about being able to be on the same page and continuity and reps and all that stuff. The prevailing opinion seems to be that a drawn out quarterback competition hurts you, Nate Jackson, individually, and hurts you and the offense collectively.
Yeah, I disagree with that. So training camp to me is about the fight for the bottom half of the roster. It's really not about getting in sync with your offense. I mean, yeah, you do that, but really it's about learning, well, who you got. Who are the dogs on your team? Who are the hungry players that you're going to give playing time to that you might not think will make the team? Training camp, you know, you'll see these vets take a vet day from time to time. They don't play a lot of snaps in preseason games. Yeah, rhythm is important for an offense, but if these guys are splitting at 50-50, I believe the offense is getting enough snaps with both of them. What they are also getting now that they don't usually get are hungry quarterbacks trying to prove that they're better than the other guy. The Broncos have had 2 years of slow starts in September. Those 2 years, the quarterback was already known. Now we have a competition. We have someone trying to prove that they're the guy. That could be the spark that this offense needs. And I've heard people say, look, you got to make a choice by after the second. No, you don't. These offensive players don't care. They're fighting for their jobs. They're working on their stuff. Wait till you make the final roster, the 53-man roster, then name your starter. You got 2 weeks to prepare for that game. To me, as an offensive player, that is plenty of time.
But as you're trying to make your mark, make the team, it's not that big of a deal if today you go out, Nate Jackson, and you're running first-team reps with Teddy Bridgewater, and then tomorrow you're out there, Nate Jackson, running first team reps with Drew Locke. That's
not a problem.
It's not a problem, huh?
It is not. These guys are professionals. And is it ideal? No. We would love to have a clear cut starter, but we don't. We don't know who's better, so we have to find out. And until we find out, don't make a choice and name a guy a starter if you don't know yet. It has to be clear in the locker room who the guy is, and if it's not, you're going to divide the locker room by choosing a guy when it hasn't become clear. There's a very good chance that both of these guys start games for the Broncos this year, right? Because we don't know which one's better yet, and one could falter, one could step up. So if that's the case, you have to give equal reps to these guys during training camp so we're familiar with both of them in case both of them play.
Olympic update for you. This is a big one when you consider what sport gets the biggest TV ratings. Simone Biles had to pull out of the team finals because of a, quote, medical issue, according to USA Gymnastics. And the U.S. went on to get only a silver medal. And they were trying to claim a third straight Olympic title as a team. They will have to settle for the silver. Simone Biles having to withdraw. Don't know what that means now for her individual events moving forward. We'll keep you updated. Okay, you kind of just hammered away at one, I guess, myth that, you know, in order for the offense to build continuity, you need that guy. What about, I guess, the other, I guess, preconceived notion going into camp? That is that Teddy Bridgewater, if it's at all close, Vic Fangio will side with Bridgewater because he's the safer option. I want you to address that next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
Nate Jackson in for Stink, who will be back tomorrow to face the music. By the way, did I just commit a broadcasting faux pas by giving the Olympic results without a warning? Somebody's upset at me. Dude, I mean, we live in a world where it is so impossible. You get alerts coming in on your phone. You know,
you
social
take the
media.
Alerts off.
Well, I guess you do, but
how many alerts?
Twitter.
I don't know. Just in the world we live in today, isn't it hard to just I mean, really? I mean, people are able to do people go into their day saying, listen, I know this Olympic event is happening at 6 a.m., but I'm going to be able to avoid it. I'm going to go out of my way to avoid it so I can watch it, you know.
Tonight
in
maybe
pseudo, you know, live prime time and not know the results. All right. If people can do that, if that's important to you, I will do my best. If there's if there's any breaking Olympic news, I'll be like, okay, breaking Olympic news update. Warning. Go away for about 30 seconds, then come back. I guess I got to do that, huh?
Yeah.
All right. I thought we had changed, but I guess not. Okay, you don't have any problem with me reading texts that call you out, do you?
Oh, no, there's quite a few of them.
Oh, let's see. So many to choose from. Let me see if I can find some. Okay. Nate, you're trying to sell me Locke and Teddy over Rogers? Dude, you sound dumb. Followed by, just tuned in, fellas. Did you guys start a comedy hour? Listening to Nate bash Rogers? Hilarious. Come on, bro. You don't believe all that, do you? Then you got,
oh, I don't think I'm a lot dumber than you thought that I think that I thought I was once.
Woody in Kansas. Nate just spitting whole milk. Preach on, Nate. Okay, you don't really believe the Broncos are in a better situation at quarterback than they are if they had landed Rodgers, do you?
No. I don't think Teddy Bridgewater is better than Aaron Rodgers. I don't think Drew Locke is better than Aaron Rodgers. But I do understand football. I understand football teams. I don't think that the circus that surrounded and surrounds Aaron Rodgers and the culmination of it would have necessarily benefited this team in a way that people might think it would have, just based on his talent. We have Aaron Rodgers. I'm sorry, we don't. We have Drew Locke. We have Teddy Bridgewater.
Freudian slip.
Right, right. Hey, maybe next year, right? There's always next offseason to have this same conversation for 4 months and then be left standing alone in the dark at the end. No, I'm just talking about what we have, guys. And what we have are two quarterbacks who are NFL quarterbacks who didn't play great last year, but who have talent. How do you get them to play better? Well, you get them to play better by having a team that plays better. You have more mature receivers who know where to be now. You have more mature tight ends who know where to be and when to be there. You have a stronger running game. You have a better defense. That's how you cover for young, vulnerable quarterbacks. Drew Locke has shown talent. If anybody out there says, no, he hasn't, you're lying to yourself. Drew Locke has shown he has talent. How do you bring the best out of him? Well, that's coaching. And that's a cohesive team that is strong in all areas. I think George Payton has helped to build that cohesion with a strong roster. Now it's up to the coaches to bring them up to that level. And I do believe that Teddy Bridgewater's character, his experience in this league, and his understanding of timing, which Drew Locke lacked last year. If we're watching him, we saw that the timing was off. And by all accounts, Teddy Bridgewater is on time. And so Drew is obviously learning from that. And I think he can make a leap. I do believe Drew Locke's the more talented of the two quarterbacks. And ultimately, I think he'll be the starter.
You sort of hammered away at one myth earlier with the idea that as an offensive player, you have to have this thing settled early so that the offense and the individual pass catchers and everybody can really get on the same page with that one quarterback. And you said it doesn't really matter. All right, what about the idea, this I guess preconceived notion, this myth, that if it is at all close, or if they had to play a game today, that Vic Fangio is going to be inclined to go with Teddy Bridgewater over Locke because Bridgewater is the quote-unquote safer quarterback?
Yeah.
You buy that?
You know, I think that's going to be a thought in his head. The question is, what's this defense going to look like? And I think that, so if this defense is all world and they hold everybody to under 10 points and they don't need to score a lot of points, then they can go with a safer conservative guy who's going to protect the football. But let's look at Teddy Bridgewater. Is he that safe? Is he that?
Right. Speaking of myths.
Yeah. Like last year, he threw 14 touchdowns and 11 picks.
Right.
Is that really that safe? The guy's got 59, something like that, career starts, and he has 53 touchdowns. He throws under a touchdown a game. Now, is that your safe pick? Look, he's a smart quarterback. He's played a lot in this league and had a lot of experiences. He's been on different teams. He has some injury issues. His arm is not as strong as Drew Locke, but he's on time. He sees defenses better. So for if I'm an offensive coordinator, I'm thinking, okay, can I open up the playbook the same way for both of these quarterbacks? Can both of these quarterbacks make the same type of throws? I think the answer to that is no. So if Drew Locke ends up being a guy who can be on time, who can limit his mistakes, who can protect the ball better, then he's the guy who gives these guys a better chance to score more points. You're going to have to score points in this league to beat the Chiefs, to beat the Chargers, to beat these teams that have high-powered offenses. You can't rely on this defense to shut teams down every week. And so if Teddy can score more points than Drew Locke, he should be the quarterback, point blank. Interceptions happen. We shouldn't harp on interceptions like it's the end of the world. People throw picks. Quarterbacks who are, you know, taking chances and have a good arm. Look, Peyton Manning threw 28 picks his rookie year, right? So you have to throw interceptions in this league to learn what to do as a quarterback. Drew Locke threw 15 of them last year. Teddy threw 11. Both of those guys have to get better at that, obviously. But I wouldn't say Teddy's the safer pick.
Yeah. This is a guy who, over the course of his career, has thrown 53 touchdowns and 36 picks.
Yeah.
To me, you aren't even considered a good quarterback until you have at least a 2-to-1 touchdown-interception ratio. Really, ideally, you want your quarterback in that 3-to-1, 4-to-1 ratio. He's not even 2-to-1. So for all the crap that Drew Locke gets, deserved, fine. But, you know, this notion that he's a mistake-prone gunslinger who doesn't know what he's doing with the ball, and yet Teddy Bridgewater is nice and safe, the numbers just don't bear that out. It is, as I like to say, a charade. All right, four down territory is coming up next. Did things just go from bad to worse for Deshaun Watson? And I'm curious to get your take, Nate, on how do you think Aaron Rodgers is going to be received in Green Bay now that he is returning to the Pack? That's next.
Be quiet. I'm answering the question.
This is four down territory.
Let's talk football.
Personal foul, 69. Offense. He's giving them the business.
That guy's pretty good. If you like 6'5", 230-pound quarterbacks, laser, rocket arm.
It's my quarterback. And if you guys do that, man, it's unfair.
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Chicken parm, you taste so good.
Ready, Fred. First down.
I do think our fans are split, and I think there's a lot of them that are just, they want it resolved. I don't know if they're against the Packers or against Aaron. They want to see it resolved. And I know people know how good a player Aaron is, but I do think sometimes in these situations it's easy to forget, you know, what he's done.
Mark Murphy, the president of the Green Bay Packers, president CEO, Aaron Rodgers going to return to the Packers. Indeed, the last dance, perhaps. Nate Jackson in for Stink. So how do you think Aaron Rodgers is going to be received in that Green Bay locker room? Open arms, or maybe a little bit of trust has been lost?
You know, I think he's reporting day one, apparently, so I think he'll be... If he addresses them, maybe he apologizes for all that stuff, maybe he doesn't. I think it's going to be water under the bridge. These guys know that he's their leader. He is the guy who took him to the NFC Championship game 2 years in a row. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback. But I think, maybe he lost a little bit of a glimmer in their eye through all of this. Because to me, the things he was saying about personnel decisions and drafting the wrong guys and is a slap in the face to the guys in the locker room, because those are his teammates. Those are the guys who he goes to battle with. And but, you know, winning forgives everything, and he goes out there and wins again, then, you know, they'll be all right.
They'll be fine, okay? This is a guy who won the MVP, threw 48 touchdowns to 5 interceptions last year, made Marquez Valdez-Scantling into a legitimate NFL player who's making money. Sure, maybe he, you know, would like to have other people there, but the guys that are there, Alan Lazard's of the world, have to look at it and go, thank God he's coming back. Instead of having Jordan Love throw me footballs, I got Aaron freaking Rodgers throwing me footballs.
Yeah, but he's also saying, hey, guys, I love you and all, but I don't want to be here with you guys.
Who cares?
I don't like you enough.
The guy completed 71% of his passes, threw for 4,300 yards, 48 touchdowns, and 5 picks.
That's good.
I'll make that work.
He had no fans in the stands, though. He's not going to be the same this year, guaranteed.
You know, we got to address. I want to get into that coming up after four down territory, because that's the second time you said that. I want you to expand on that.
Yeah.
Next in four down territory.
Second down.
Did you play for a player with 22 lawsuits for sexual assault and misconduct, 10 that have filed criminal complaints, a police investigation, an NFL investigation, none have been concluded. Would the Broncos trade number one picks the next 2 years and 2 or 3 starters for Watson, not knowing if he's going to be suspended for half the season, all season, maybe no season? People act like teams are lining up, and they're not.
That is John McClain of the Houston Chronicle on with our Nick and Cecil last night here on The Fan, and he is the preeminent authority when it comes to all things Texans and Houston sports. So that was a very definitive statement right there. And now, in addition to the 22 civil charges, cases against Deshaun Watson, now add 10 women who have made complaints to the Houston police. 8 of the women are among the 22 who have those civil lawsuits. 2 more have filed just complaints with the Houston police. So it continues to be a bad look for Deshaun Watson. It is murky. It is muddy. And this is a guy who continues to say, hey, I want to be able to tell my side of the story, to the point where even if he were to settle these cases, he would demand non-disclosure agreements not be put into place because he would want to be able to share his side of it. I just don't see how all of this leads to Deshaun Watson playing football this year.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of women, that's a lot of accusations, and they're all kind of singing the same song. They're talking about a very similar situation that happened over and over and over. And when you read, you know, the details of these allegations, there's a ickiness, a yuckiness mm-hmm. factor in it that I think keeps teams away from this guy for quite a while. And I think you're right when we talked about it earlier. The NFL is probably going to come down and issue some sort of punishment against him. And I think
why not yet, though? I love your term. There's an ickiness to this entire story. And the NFL is very protective of the shield.
Yeah.
They like to protect the shield from ickiness.
They do.
So are you surprised that on the eve of Texans training camp that he has not yet been put on the commissioner's exempt list? Come on, this thing has been going on for months.
Yeah.
I mean, you know the NFL has been doing their own private investigation. They got to have some sort of sense of what's real with this story. So why are they not yet doing anything about the ickiness?
You know, maybe they didn't think he was going to report to camp. And now that he's reporting, maybe they're kind of scrambling to figure this out, because they need to make some sort of a statement on this and at least address it. Have they ever even addressed it?
No.
Yeah. This is the guy who led the league last year in passing yards. He was up there in completion over 70% as well. By all accounts, a top 5 NFL cornerback. And so they got to do something about it, because this is this is one of the faces of the league that they got to figure out.
Next in four down territory.
Third down.
Burrow back to pass. Good pocket. Throws into the end zone.
Yeah.
It's intended for Tyler Boyd.
Touchdown.
Yeah. Bengals as Tyler Boyd caught it right on the white stripe.
Yes.
The ball passed the white stripe. Then he was driven back out onto the playing field, but the touchdown signal was given.
I'm always amused by Bengals highlights, Bengals radio, because I don't know who their play-by-play guy is, but I think he has the most challenging play-by-play job in all of sports, because he has a color guy, again, don't know who the guy is, don't care, who's constantly talking over him. I mean, literally is telling you what's happening on the play before the poor play-by-play guy gets a chance to announce the play.
You mean into the end zone?
Yeah.
It's intended for Tyler Boyd.
He's saying touchdown before the guy even gets to do his job and call the play.
It's kind of like Tony Romo, right?
Well, Tony just tells you what's going to happen before the play, and then Nance gets to call the play.
Yeah, which is annoying. You know, Tony, shut it down. Let Jim do his job, and then just tell us what happened
You're not at all impressed by his ability to predict what's going to happen?
No, he watches a lot of film. A lot of quarterbacks can do that. Just let us watch the game, Tony.
Boy, if it was that easy, somebody pass that along to Drew, will you? Joe Burrow, not expected to play at all in the preseason as he comes back from an ACL injury. Is that smart?
Well, I mean, if he's got a problem with his knee, then yeah.
Well, but the
you don't want to rush that back.
All I heard the other day was that he's on pace.
Look, these
full recovery. I mean, if he's not going to play, then maybe he shouldn't be even playing at the start of the regular season.
Yeah, that's...
But they're saying that he's going to be ready for the start of the regular season, but just to be sure, they're not going to play him at all in the preseason.
It's that age-old ACL, you know, question. When do you get these guys back out there? I mean, I think Adrian Peterson's fast recovery muddied the waters for all these guys now. They think they can all do it in 6 months, and there's a lot of pressure on these guys to get back out on the field. Not just Joe Burrow. We got Courtland Sutton and Albert Okwuegbunam. These guys are going to push it out there before they're ready, and we just hope they can hold up. But it's hard for a quarterback to take no reps in preseason, a guy who's coming off his rookie year. How many games did he play in his rookie year?
Oh.
Before he got hurt.
Efforting music? Can you work some efforting music? Weave some efforting music? Oh, look at that. Seamless. Absolutely seamless. This is where Mark would be saying, oh, look at Evans' little sausage fingers going to work there. He played in 10.
Yeah, so he got some good reps under his belt.
But you hear about the mental side of coming back from an ACL, and I would think that, you know, before you just throw him out there full speed in a regular season game, you might like to get a little mental reps.
You would like that. And so that puts him in a vulnerable position, and you better believe that the defenders are going to know which knee is the bad one.
Next in 4-down territory.
Fourth down.
Shotgun snap to Brady. Long line drive down the middle. A twisting two-handed helmet high. Falling down catch. Touchdown Hogan. Caught the ball. Hit hard. 26-yard throw.
So how about this story? This guy, I think this guy's a great story. He's an NFL journeyman, but he continues to hang around. Chris Hogan is back in the NFL as he has signed on with the New Orleans Saints for some wide receiver depth. This after he spent the summer in the PLL playing professional lacrosse, as this guy was a very good lacrosse player at Penn State. And that's always been part, you know, he played those years with New England. You always heard the story during Patriots games. Hey, this is Chris Hogan, you know, a really accomplished lacrosse player. It was kind of like, you know, did you know Philip Lindsay went to East High School? That kind of thing. So, you got to, and you especially probably as somebody who had that kind of nomadic journey around the NFL, probably can appreciate a guy like Chris Hogan still getting a chance to play in the NFL, going from the lacrosse pitch to the NFL field.
Yeah, and it's rare to be able to play two sports, right? To be able to show what kind of athlete you are, because these guys are all really, really good athletes, but they get specialized and streamlined into their one sport. And you know, Deion Sanders and Bo Jackson, last time we saw guys be able to do what Chris Hogan's doing. And maybe lacrosse isn't the type of sport that gets those eyeballs, but it's pretty cool to see it. And I wish more athletes in the NFL and across all sports could kind of touch those areas and play different sports as well.
My buddy Ron Zwerin just told me Dan Hoard is the Bengals play-by-play guy. I think Dan's a Syracuse guy, if I'm not mistaken. Well, once again, proving the greatness of the Cuse. If you could be an accomplished play-by-play guy with that oaf as your color commentator. All right, that'll do it for 4-Down Territory, our tour around the NFL. Bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. Want to get to that whole idea that you've talked about. I just forgot about it. What was that point that you were bringing?
No fans in the stands.
No fans in the stands. Why that made such a difference and why it will affect quarterback play this year. That's next. Oh, you texters. Oh, you thought you had me. You thought you had me. So for all of you who just jumped on me on the RommelSlaw.com text line for saying, what are you talking about, you idiot? Philip Lindsay went to South High School. Oh, really? I just got you. That I just made Schlereth and Evans radio history. I just got you with a text line, RamosLaw.com text line, Oh Really. Have you heard about the Oh Really game?
No.
So Stink introduced us all to this. So what you do is, the idea is that you say something that is blatantly wrong. You know it's wrong, but you get the person you're with to correct you, and then you just yell in their face, Oh Really? So, for like example, the other day he tried to get me. Like, he was talking about, he's like, yeah, it's like that Eagles song, Itchy Woman. He wanted me to say, you mean Witchy Woman?
Okay.
And then he was going to go, Oh, really? Now, we've each gotten each other over the years. It's been a while because we're both on our game when it comes to, you know, looking out for the traps. But with Stink, it's difficult because he says so many things wrong. I don't know if it's him trying to set me up for an Oh, really? Or it's just him being wrong.
Right.
You know, so, but in this case, I got all of you.
Joke's on you.
You fell into my trap. The Oh Really trap. You've been Oh Really'd. Okay, Nate Jackson in for Stink. First of all, for all of you, and boy, the texts were just waiting for us as we started this morning. Coming after Mark, who insisted that Aaron Rodgers was going to be a Bronco, or that at least Aaron Rodgers would never play again for the Packers. You'll get your shot at him tomorrow. It was a planned day off today, so he's not ducking you. You know Mark. Come on, folks. You know Mark. He's not going to shy away from it. If anything, he's going to come back tomorrow with his chin stuck out there looking for a fight. So be ready to go tomorrow. Nate Jackson been kind enough to sit in, and we've been having fun this morning. All right, so you have said this twice today, and each time I'm like, and then we moved on, but I want to press you on it. You think that quarterback play was greatly impacted last year because there weren't fans in the seats, and you expect some sort of regression this year? Explain.
Yeah, I do. So, touchdown passes were up last year more than ever. Interceptions down, fewer than ever. Points scored more than ever last year. Quarterback completion percentage up 2 to 3% last year over the year before. Why would that be? Would really offenses just get that much better from one year to the next and defenses get that much worse? Of course not. They're all practicing the same. They're all going through the same preparations. The game doesn't change that way unless there's a factor that contributed to it. And that factor is, of course, quiet stadiums. Quarterbacks thrive on quiet. If there are no fans in the stands yelling, you can change the play at the line of scrimmage. You can communicate with your guys. You can work the snap count on the road. You can listen to the defensive calls. You can listen to the defensive coaches. You go back to the sidelines after a bad play. You got no one insulting your mother over there. There are all these factors set up to benefit the quarterback last year. Of course, it was circumstantial, but it benefited the quarterbacks. It also, sacks were down. Fewest sacks in years. That's because the defensive ends and defensive line weren't able to work the snap count either. So, this year, there's going to be fans in the stands. The quarterbacks are going to have to deal with that again. And I don't think quarterback play is going to be as dynamic this year as it was last year. I simply don't believe that's the case. Defenses are going to play better this year than they did last year. An interesting stat last year as well. All those things I just mentioned, touchdown passes up, interceptions down, points scored up. Also, missed tackles were down. How do you square that with reality? The NFLPA said that this means that the quality of play was better. But to me, what this means was that the offensive players were running free. The defensive players weren't even in position to make the tackles because the quarterbacks were able to kind of have their cake and eat it too out there and dial up whatever they wanted based on whatever they saw. The defenses were at a disadvantage last year with no fans in the stands. And this year, the fans are going to be back and the defenses will be back on a level playing field.
For home games, they will be.
Right.
Just for home games, because nothing should change.
No.
Those offensive numbers should not change for quarterbacks and offenses at home.
That's half the season.
Right. Oh, no, you're right. You're now, all of a sudden, instead of 16 games where you did not have to worry about any kind of crowd noise, you're at least going to have to deal with 8 or 9.
Yeah.
Where you deal with it.
Yeah.
Unless you're playing at Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Then you don't have to worry. Oh, no, I shouldn't say that.
Hey, man, I got Tebow.
They got Tebow.
Come on.
Tebow time.
But look, it's going to be a harder, harder season for tackles as well. Garrett Bowles might have a tougher time this year. You know, because
they didn't call holding
tackled
penalties.
By Bowles.
They did not call holding penalties as much last year.
Correct.
But you saw what happened though. Everything you just said about the offensive numbers all going up. So you know that the people that set up the rules for the NFL, it's always been favoring the offense. And so they're going to take a look at what was just a record-setting year across the board. Now, they may factor in what you just said about the crowd noise, but they'll also probably look at it and say, hey, holding calls were way down last year. Offensive numbers spiked up. We got to make sure that we continue what we did last year. I don't see that genie going back in the bottle at all.
No.
I mean, you know how it works. They're going to continue, if anything, to try to make things easier for offenses. And if that all of a sudden, if they kind of stumbled upon something, wow, look what happened when we call less holding penalties. They're not going to change that. They're not going to tighten. They're not going to instruct their officials to start, you know, having a tighter whistle.
No, I agree. I think they'll probably look. They do like the scoring. They do, but they can't keep fans out of the stands. You know, I think if these tackles start to push their luck a little bit and try to take advantage of that policy, then maybe they'll tighten it up a little bit. I've heard Mark say that they're going to kind of meet in the middle, right? He thinks that, which I think they could do. I don't think it's necessarily good for the game to have the offense just lighten up the defense every game. I don't think that's good. I think we appreciate, fans appreciate good defenses.
I'll disagree. I think they love offense during the regular season. I think they like and almost want to see defense in the playoffs. I mean, the Super Bowl was won. I know Brady got all the headlines, but let's not kid ourselves. The story of that game was Tampa's defense.
Chiefs didn't score a touchdown.
Yeah. I mean, they had Patrick Mahomes running for his life.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, they took the vaunted Kansas City Chiefs and shut them down. That was the story. And you know what? We all loved it, right? It was entertaining.
Yeah.
So, but I do think it's kind of like baseball. During the long haul of a baseball season, give me home runs. Give me 8-7 baseball games. You know what I mean? But come playoff time, give me a tight, taut, crisp, you know, 2-1 game where by the sixth inning, you're hanging on every pitch.
Yeah.
I don't need that in the regular season. I want offense in the regular season. Playoffs, give me some more of the defense. And, hey, we continue. You know, it's so funny because for all of the talk about how, you know, the NFL just continues to have record-setting offensive numbers, and they do every year. It just continues to, you know, become more offensive-minded. But, you know, 2015, the Broncos come along with a defense for the ages, win a Super Bowl. Last year, Tampa does what they do, winning a Super Bowl. So it still plays.
Yeah. I do think, you know, Baker Mayfield threw 8 picks last year.
Yeah.
Do you think he's going to throw more than 8 interceptions? What's the over-under on Baker Mayfield's interceptions this year?
It's a good question.
But you know, I think he benefited from it. You know, Josh Allen made a huge leap last year.
Right.
We don't really, he was able to hear everything and communicate and have an easier time. Quarterbacks have an easier time when it's quiet. It's just how it is. So, I think all these quarterbacks who ascended last year are going to have a little bit of a wake up call or at least a little bit of adjustment. One thing we don't talk about last year is that the Super Bowl, that was one of the only games all year where there actually were fans in the stands.
Good point.
And Patrick Mahomes had a tough time. So, it makes it harder when you can't hear anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot difficult. It's a lot more difficult.
So in what ways will, and I'll apply this to the Broncos defense because we're putting a lot on this defense. I mean, I'm counting on this defense to be a top five defense. I think the only way this team can be a playoff team is if this is a top five defense. Agree?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I got high expectations, high demands for this defense. So
unless we get Aaron Rodgers, then.
Well, that's not going to happen now. So in what specific ways now will this defense really, like I was looking it up yesterday. I mean, this defense in the 2 years that Vic Fangio was here, his last year in Chicago, his defense was just a marauding, menacing, sack-filled, turnover-causing defense. Since coming here, they have been ranked, I believe they've been ranked 27th and 30th in forced turnovers. They were really bad in sacks their first year with Fangio. They got better last year, but still, this has not been a momentum-changing, field position-changing, game-changing, game-clinching defense for the 2 years that Vic Fangio has been here. So how should it be different this year? Bringing in all those factors that you – in what ways will we see it tangibly as fans?
Well, if we're just talking related to the crowd noise things, you know, they're going to get the benefit of having a home crowd and be able to – Von Miller's going to be able to jump the snap count and put some pressure on the quarterback and Bradley Chubb, and I think they'll have a higher sack total this year than last year. I know people were on Bradley Chubb for not getting enough sacks. He made the Pro Bowl, but where are your sacks? Well, I think all teams struggled to get sacks last year because of that crowd noise and the holding penalty leniency. But it's an attitude, I think. I think these guys have to figure out how to force turnovers in the secondary. They have to be more ball hawks. I look at it when I was an offensive player, and we would go through a spell where we didn't have a lot of turnovers, or we were turning the ball over on offense. Coach Shanahan made it an emphasis at practice to protect the ball on offense, but on the defensive side of the ball, it was an emphasis to go after that ball, to try to strip it out, to try to get picks, and they would be rewarded for it. Like, you know, just small, just cash under the table for guys who would cause turnovers in practice, and the guy who he caused it against would have to pay him. Okay? There's little things like that that can kind of create the instinct for turnovers. I don't know if Vic Fangio does any games like that, but I know it helped because every time we made it an emphasis, it improved on game day. We saw the result. But I think a lot of that is just kind of the way the ball bounces as well sometimes.
They come in bunches?
Yeah, they come in bunches. And so KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Longmont, Denver.
Whoa!
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.